The 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
There once was a small town, and in that small town, they had a Methodist church, a Presbyterian church, and a Lutheran church. All three of the churches had the same problem. The problem was that they had bats in their attics. All three wanted to rid themselves of the bats. The Methodist, probably being the more pious of the three, thought that spiritual intervention would be the way to get rid of the bats. So they gathered in prayer for that heartwarming moment whenever the Spirit would intercede and the bats would be gone. But the next day, they came back to their church, and the bats were still in the attic. The Presbyterians are much more pragmatic. Identify the problem, act on it decisively, and then you can move on. So instead of choosing prayer, they decided to use shotguns instead. And all of those who own shotguns, men and women alike, stood in the sanctuary one Saturday, aimed for the ceiling of the sanctuary, and just shot until they ran out of ammunition. Came back the next day. The bats were still there. But then the Methodist pastor and the Presbyterian pastor noticed that the bats from the Lutheran church were gone. They no longer had bats in the Lutheran congregation. And finally, they worked up the courage to approach the Lutheran pastor, and they said, "What is it that you did to get rid of the bats?" And the pastor said, "It was easy. We just baptized and confirmed them, and we never saw them since." Do you hear your first challenge? I want you to stay part of this community of faith. We treasure your presence in this congregation. And I pray with all my heart that you will stay an important part of Trinity Lutheran Church. When children are baptized here at Trinity Church, there has always been, as part of that baptismal rite, a commitment that parents, family, and congregation makes to the children that are baptized. The newest language that we use in our most recent hymnal is that with these responsibilities of having our children baptized, we will live with them among God's faithful people. We will bring them to the Word of God and to the Holy Supper. We will teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. We'll place in their hands the Holy Scriptures, nurture them in faith and prayer so that these children may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace. Your families have done that. You have continued to be invested in the life of the congregation up to this point. The leaders of this congregation have been invested in making sure that we as a congregation are committed to helping you with that, which is why they process and surround you on this day of confirmation. I'm delighted that so many of our other confirmands from 7th and 8th grade are sitting in the sanctuary today. Can you just raise your hand so we see how many who are still in confirmation are here? I'm delighted that you are still with us because they have been part of this journey. But something significant happens today. It's no longer someone else taking responsibility for you to do this. It's you making the public commitment that you will be the ones responsible for making that happen. There really are a number of images in the minds of people of what confirmation is. Some will say, well, that's when you become a member of the church, which is not accurate. A person becomes a member of the congregation when they are baptized. That's when God lays claim to that person, whether child or adult, and becomes initiated into the community of faith. So you have already been members. Some, with some Roman Catholic influences, think that confirmation is a sacrament. We in our Lutheran tradition do not teach that there are only two sacraments in our tradition, baptism and Holy Communion. Some joke that there is half of one, which is the Word of God. So it's not a sacrament. Those who have long-term connections with this congregation bring another image with them of the glory days when there were many, many children being confirmed. Now, wonder what that does when we have a class of two to hear people hearken back to the days when things were better. Instead of us celebrating the commitment that these two young women are willing to make today. So if confirmation is not about becoming a member, is not a sacrament, is not to draw us back to this perfect past when things were so much better, then what is confirmation? Confirmation is when our young people stand in front of the congregation and make a public statement of what they believe, to claim their faith as their own. And it is the moment when young people in our congregation make a public commitment to being more involved in the life of the congregation, a greater involvement in the community of faith. And that is what Emily and Sammy are going to do today, to publicly proclaim their faith and to commit themselves to a greater involvement in our faith family. We gather as witnesses to their act. And as we gather as witnesses, as the body of Christ, We also gather and in our presence believe that God is present, witnessing what you are saying today. And so God then also confirms your faith. And at the moment when I lay my hands on your head and offer that blessing, it is God who is speaking to you, saying, you are children that I deeply and wonderfully love, and I will never let you go. Hold on to me through hearts of faith. God strengthens your faith in doing that. So what we are doing today is witnessing as the body of Christ, two young women confessing their faith, making a commitment to greater involvement in the life of the church, and listening to God speak to them those eternal promises. Now I have to tell you that it is with great delight and a heart full of joy that I am allowed to be part of that moment. There is a wonderful rivalry between the two of you. They are both very competitive spirits. I found that out when we decided to have races to see who could find a section in the scripture the first. They raced, they yelled at each other, they took the Bible in front of the other person when they found it first, and they insisted that they had found it first, and they put me on the spot of being the judge to determine who was going to be the winner, knowing I knew that whoever I decided, I was going to hear the displeasure of the other one. There is really a wonderful bond between the two of you as you have grown in this place and in your faith together. And so the passages which you will hear read later in the service that I've selected to you for you, either one could apply to either one of you. Sammy, I picked a verse from the Psalms that uses the phrase, I am fearfully and wonderfully made by the Lord. I am struck by your tenacity, that swimming is what brings such joy and fulfillment to your life. To see you at the pool the other day when my son was taking his swimming lessons, and to see you ready to get back into training again. To see the frustration you had after your shoulder injury and surgery when you couldn't do what you loved. You didn't give up. You held on to that. And you are still striving to be a swimmer. I want you to take those same words from the Psalms and hold on to them just as tightly, to be able to say when you look in the mirror, I am fearfully and wonderfully made by the Lord, and there is nothing that can come at me in life that can ever fully bring me down. Emily, I picked an athletic verse for you. Run the race with endurance, it says. We won't talk about your swimming career. What was it, the drowning moth? Is that what they called you in your swimming career, I think? I can remember the day in confirmation class when I mentioned that I wasn't convinced that people in junior high should have cell phones. And I can remember the argument you put up with me about why you should indeed have a cell phone. Or at least, if I didn't buy your argument, I should not tell your parents that I agreed with them at that moment that you should not have a cell phone. But you ran that race with perseverance, did she not? And she got a cell phone. How many has it been now in the last 3 years? We lost count, didn't we, of how many cell phones it's been. But you got your phone. To run that race with perseverance, that spirit that sets your heart on fire and inspires you to go for the gold, to go for what you have your mind set on. And that is a beautiful and a wonderful quality that you have in your life. It is indeed a pleasure and a joy to be called by God to be your pastor and to have you in my life. There is an image of adoption in the scripture passages today. And it points, first of all, to this adoption that God lays claim on us through the Holy Spirit, so that, as we hear, we are no longer orphaned, but we belong to God, our eternal parent. And it is a God that loved you before you were born. I can still remember the moment that my wife and I received word that my son had been born, but we had to wait 3 days before we could see him for the first time. But what struck me was that we loved him and made a place in our lives for him before we ever saw him in the first place. And one of the things that pastors do as they prepare to receive and accept a new call as pastor, as they start loving their parishioners before they get to know them. You too have proven yourselves worthy of that love and that honor and that respect. And I'm delighted that we can be at this moment where, as a church, we can witness the next step in your faith journey as you confess your faith, as you commit to greater involvement in the life of the church, and as God confirms your faith for all times. Amen. The rite of affirmation of faith is printed on page 234 in the front section of your hymnals. I ask that you turn to that page so that you may follow along. Page 234.
I present Samantha Cagle and Emily McBride, who desire to make public affirmation of their faith.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for these sisters whom you have made your own by water and the word and baptism. You have called them to yourself, enlightened them with the gift of your Spirit, and nourished them in the community of faith. Uphold your servants in the gifts and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen.
Emily and Sammy, I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God?
I renounce them.
I invite the congregation to join in responding. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
You believe in God, the Holy Spirit.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The congregation, please be seated. You have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people, following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? And people of God, do you promise to support these sisters and pray for them in their life in Christ?
We do, and we ask God to help and guide us.
You two kneel, please.
Reading for Sammy from Psalm chapter 139, verse 14. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well.
Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in Sammy the gift of your Holy Spirit. Confirm her faith, guide her life, empower her in her serving. Give her patience in her suffering and bring her to everlasting life.
Reading for Emily from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that has been set before us.
Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in Emily the gift of your Holy Spirit. Confirm her faith, guide her life, empower her in her serving, give her patience in her suffering, and bring her to everlasting life.
Let us rejoice with these sisters in Christ.
We rejoice with you in the life of baptism. Together we will give thanks and praise to God and proclaim the good news to all the world. Would you stand and face the congregation? Please join with me in acclaiming this fine day today with these confirmands. We have gifts here for you on behalf of the congregation.
Today there is much about which we ask that you hold in prayer. Our hospitalized members, Joan Hess and Jane Mueller. We also ask that you hold in prayer Caitlin Simbeck and Kevin Chanko, who were united in holy matrimony here this past Friday. And we also ask that you remember Sammy and Emily, who just affirmed their baptism. Let us pray. Lord God, we live in a world in which your presence is not always felt. As we reflect on the devastation caused by tornadoes and floods, help us to remember that you are in control. You are the eyes and ears that never close. You are the one who is ever present. You are the hands that never stop reaching. Breathe new life into those who are broken, crushed, and distressed. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, as we look back on this past week, we ask you to forgive us for the things which we are ashamed to remember. If we have hurt others, if we have failed to love, forgive us. For the good things which have happened, for any kindness received, for any word of praise that we never acknowledged, we thank you, Father. Bless those who have been kind to us and helped us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we think about the young people who affirmed their baptism here today, Sammy and Emily. They have completed the beginning of a life's journey in the life and work of faith in you. We ask that you guide and lead them on the next stages of their faith journey. And may the gift of your Spirit be with them, that they may give witness and service to your Son Jesus through lives built on faith and love. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, we do not like being ill. In such times we feel helpless, afraid, and vulnerable, and we worry about what might happen to us. Soothe our souls and help us to listen to your voice in the midst of our concern. Today we lift up in prayer Joan and Jane and others we now speak in the silence of our hearts. May we find patience, strength, and trust in you, Lord, in your mercy. Oh Lord, we remember today those who have given their lives for our nation, and we also remember those whom we have loved in our families and our friends who now reside in your presence. We know that you are the deepest wisdom, the deepest truth, and the deepest love, and you will not leave us abandoned. We come to you for rest, with the assurance that someday faith and belief in you will lead us to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.